Welcome to Muscle Science for Women, everybody. We're your hosts, Ashley and Rachel. We're happy to be here with you. It's a beautiful Wednesday in the spring. You wouldn't know it where I live, but I'm pretty confident spring is coming. How's it where you are? Beautiful and sunny?
It's beautiful and sunny.
Yeah, classic.
It's been a little rainy, but today and yesterday, I texted Alex yesterday while I was walking outside. I was like, the weather is immaculate today.
I don't know.
It's amazing.
I don't know what that feels like, but I will say.
You will soon.
Exactly. I'm coming soon. I'm super pumped. I've been sending you all kinds of hilarious things on the internets about stupid workouts we should do. I really try not to put any negativity on my social media, even if it's like in good fun, you know what I mean? Because I just feel like there's so much negativity on the internet, but there's so many times in the run of a day that I want to make fun of something. And I just am like, nah, I'm not going to do it. So I just send it to you instead and we can make fun of it privately. But anyway, I'm excited for us to get together and do some workouts and eat some steaks. Anything else going on? You still walking dogs?
Yeah, just one, you know? Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Playing basketball and kickball. Like I play basketball once a week. I can play kickball 2 times a week now. So
keeping busy,
getting lots of activity in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fun. Good stuff.
When this podcast goes out, I think the shoulder program will not have, like, we won't have done it yet, but it will have launched in terms of people can sign up. I'm pretty sure because we're like a few weeks in advance here with the recording. So just a reminder to anyone listening, if you have not signed up yet, what are you doing? Come on. Yeah. Everybody knows that summer is shoulder season, bare shoulders, sun's out, delts out, right? That's how I live my life. So I feel like, you know, get on it. And we're just finishing up all of the like video exercise tutorials and all the just finishing touches. And I'm super pumped about this program. So I hope everyone does it and has big old boulder shoulders for the summer.
Yes. It's exciting. There's a lot of really nerdy stuff that we're breaking down into like fun ways of understanding it. And I think this is something, again, like this is something that I wish I like knew, all these things I wish I knew 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like having great looking shoulders, you know, it's also shoulder health, right? Like we talk about the intricacies of the shoulder joint. Like there's so many little tiny muscles in there, joints, ligaments, tendons, things like that, that lots of people struggle with because they get inflamed and they're doing all these things. They're like, oh, well, if I do more mobility or do more of these things, then my shoulders will be healthier and whatever. But a lot of, you know, a lot of that from what I've seen from clients is like, if you actually just know how to train your shoulders properly and through, you know, with the correct equipment, through, you know, the correct ranges of motion and in the right planes of motion, it's really not that hard once you know it and you understand it. And that in itself is what's going to quote unquote heal your shoulders, right? Because when you continuously put repetitive movements on it or do things in a way that are just kind of like jamming your joint or causing impingement, that is what leads to the pain and the soreness and all of that. But when you fix that, right, that like then you have like long-term shoulder health, postures better, things like that. You don't have like that annoying nagging stuff that goes on, which a lot of people deal with shoulders. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah. I mean, with your background and your knowledge and your personality, you could make any body part program very exhaustive and detailed. But I think in this case, it really lends itself to being comprehensive and extensive just because the shoulder joint is such a complex piece of machinery and so prone to overuse, misuse, injury, all of these things. And so I think it's really important that instead of just giving out a program that's like, here's how to pump up your shoulders, there's just so much more to it. And I think one other thing that people do a disservice, and I know I've struggled with this, having my own shoulder injuries, is feeling like, because I spent my whole life working out and doing largely upper body focused stuff, there were times when I was like, look, I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm just going to leave it alone and it'll resolve itself. And it's like, that's not always the case. I'm not saying that a workout program can fix all injuries, But I'm saying that not doing anything also may not fix your injury. And a lot of times injuries or impingements or pain are not necessarily a result of your training program. Sometimes they're postural. Sometimes there are other things going on in your life, lifestyle habits and behaviors that you may be making it worse through exercise. And so knowing some of these things and knowing about posture and movement, exercise setup and all that stuff and exercise selection, all of these things are really important. But all that to say is if you are someone who has struggled with shoulder pain or shoulder injury, you are not excluded from this. And it may actually really help you because you're going to learn so much more about that part of your body and that collection of muscles and how they work. Yeah. So,
Just to piggyback off that, I know I'm interrupting you again. It's Kanye time. You made a really good point there about the injuries and just like everything around the shoulder. But I do want to add in, there's people who also struggle with like elbow pain and like tennis elbow and also wrist pain. And then also like lower back pain. And you're like, oh, it's my lower back that's causing me, like I need to focus on the lower back or I need to focus on the elbow. But you have to look above and below those areas. And the shoulder, all the shoulder muscles and upper back muscles are all part of that as well. So if you're someone who's like, why is my elbow always hurting or why is my low back hurting? This program can be a really good tool for you to understand like, okay, maybe I need to look at things a little bit differently. And that can lead to some relief on some of those other joints that are like surrounding. So it's not just your shoulders. You have to look at it more like globally. So I just wanted to add that in and interrupt you because I love interrupting you.
Kanye, why am I Taylor Swift in this situation? That's the last person I want to be. I mean, frankly, I don't want to be Kanye either. So we'll just move on. They're both bad.
Me neither.
You can hate me.
Okay, anyway.
rgfit.com/shoulders is the link. And you can sign up there. You can get more information there. Do it. I also just have to give a quick shout out to my mom who has just now, I'm going to say 8 years into my podcasting career, started listening to this podcast.
Oh my God.
She's going to the gym. I think I said in a previous episode that, you know, she's going to the gym regularly after not having done that for a while. And I'm very proud of her for doing that. And she's working out and it's great. And we're talking about that. And I don't know if that's why she's listening to the podcast now, but she has mentioned that she listened to a couple episodes. So shout out Fabian, shout out my mom. I hope
that's
you
awesome.
Listen to all of our good advice and take it. So just had to do that.
Love to hear that.
So let's dive into some questions because we got some good ones. We're going to start with the LDL one, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to start with the LDL one.
Okay.
And
I'm going to read it.
The whole thing?
Well, I guess it is kind of long.
There's a highlighted area though that has the actual questions in it, but I don't
Does
know.
It?
Let's see.
Okay. Well, I mean, the basic gist, and I can reach back into the email if needed, but Georgianne from California, hey, thanks for listening, is asking, how do I keep my LDL down on a high protein diet? She's had some blood work taken, and it says her total cholesterol is mildly elevated. Her LDL, or what we sometimes call bad cholesterol, is elevated. Triglycerides were normal. Okay. So the doctor or the lab, you know, results were saying, please focus on reducing saturated fats and processed foods and increasing your consumption of healthy fats like avocado, salmon, olive oil, and nuts. She's saying that she's eating a very high animal protein diet. She was vegan. She didn't really love that. And so now she's eating more protein, but she's saying as a result, she's got this blood work and her LDL is elevated. So how do you balance that? So we've got a lot of thoughts here. And again, we're not doctors. We're not your doctor. This is not medical advice. This is just thoughts from us. Okay.
Yes.
Go for it.
Okay. So I was telling Ashley offline, I'm just going to kind of give my little spiel on this because I've actually been diving deep into cholesterol research the past few weeks, putting together like a very extensive article lesson for my membership group, the Flex Fam. So this is top of mind. So, you know, nerding out, always excited to talk about things like this and new research and things that a lot of people like just don't either know or they've heard something from years ago and it's like kind of synced in their brain or they're getting information from maybe some potential doctors who are not up on the research, right? So I'm not going to, again, I'm not a doctor. I don't specialize in cholesterol or anything like that. But just from like a practical standpoint, in terms of things that we can give you in terms of tips and things to think about, the first thing is cholesterol is very complex. And there isn't, you know, in terms of LDL being bad cholesterol and HDL being good cholesterol, quote unquote, what people heard, there's a lot more to it than that. It's not that one is just bad or good. There's lots more to that. There's lots more blood markers and things that we know now are more important to pay attention to, such as like overall, for example, you may see something like ApoB as a marker, right? I'm not going to go into what all that is, but that's something that people maybe have no idea what that is and why it's important, right? So doing your research is important. Doing your own research, being your own advocate, not just relying on what your doctor says, in my opinion, is probably best for things like this, especially when it comes to like, and the reason I say this is because I had a client last week say, hey, you know, my doctor wants to put me on a statin and they haven't even discussed nutrition, right? And it's like, okay, like let's hold on for a second. Not that, you know, certain people don't like statins and medications and pharmaceuticals and things like that definitely have their place in certain situations. But in my opinion, it's like, if you haven't even talked about your nutrition, then
ridiculous.
And you're just going to go right to pharmaceuticals. So anyway, now I'm just getting off topic. I'll reel this back in. And Ashley's like, she probably wants to punch me through the microphone or whatever.
No, go for it.
Okay, reeling this back in, looking at this email. So she mentioned in terms of like she, you know, is eating lots of whole foods, proteins, animal meats, things like that. We have kind of like her full meal plan here in the email, which is awesome. And some things that stand out to me is just she said, I still get my healthy fats in cuts of meats, cheese, avocados, etc., which is great. And so when we're talking about, you know, cholesterol and things like that, I feel like we have two main nutritional like kind of buckets we can talk about when it comes to if your doctor says, hey, your cholesterol numbers are, you know, higher, maybe not just LDL, but some other things, and I want you to lower them, or I want to put you on a medication, right? So there's a whole side of things where it's like, okay, do you actually need to lower your cholesterol? If you do, if you dive into that, you dive into the specific numbers, then there are some nutritional things that you can do in terms of paying a little bit more attention to potentially saturated fat and thinking about just overall processed foods, right? So that's like the first thing is like, if you're consuming tons of processed foods, oils, you know, you're eating at restaurants, you know, every single day or every other day, that's where I would think about like, okay, are there things that I can clean up there? Because you might be consuming a lot more, for example, like hydrogenated vegetable oils and things like that, that are causing a little bit more inflammation, hidden sugars. And even like if you're eating any like fried foods, for example, like trans fats, whatever, those are all things that contribute. So it's like, okay, can I reduce that a little bit? The other thing is that saturated fats are not bad, right? We know that they're not bad as they've been demonized in the past, but there definitely are saturated fats that can lead to higher cholesterol levels and quote unquote bad cholesterol levels if you consume them in excess, right? So again, it's not like you can't consume saturated fats, but if you're consuming tons of butter and cheese and fatty meats like 24/7 and you do have a cholesterol panel that is of concern, right? Then it might just mean like, hey, let's focus on for a little while incorporating maybe a little bit leaner cuts of meat. Maybe we just kind of swap out some of that saturated fat for more monounsaturated fat. So instead of having like a fatty ribeye, often, maybe I have like a sirloin and I bring in some more salmon and like avocados, avocado oil, maybe take out the cheese a little bit and bring in some more nuts and seeds, right? Some more omega-3s to help balance that out. So it's simply kind of thinking about like, how do I just maybe swap a few things to potentially reduce my overall saturated fat intake to help bring those numbers down if that's the goal. But again, I'm not saying like don't eat any saturated fat. It's just maybe we need to bring that down a little bit. So I'm going to shut up. Ashley, you go.
No, I was just going to say, just to finish off on that, like, you know, I'm the last person to say like low fat diet and like take the skin off your chicken and stuff. Like I love a fatty cut of meat, but again, we tend to, especially like she said, she was vegetarian for a while. We tend to, when we get into extreme diets, we tend to really like vacillate into the extremes. And so a lot of times people who go keto or who go meat focused after being vegetarian, they go really hard on the other end and they're eating like, mm-hmm. like you said, really high fat meats all the time and all the cheeses and all the very decadent high fat stuff. And there is a big range in the middle where you can be eating really satisfying, delicious foods with plenty of healthy fats without it being like overkill, right? So you can just kind of find, sometimes you just need to calibrate and get like a little bit back into, you know, the middle. But I think there's a couple other points to just keep in mind in this, maybe in her situation, but in general, if this is a topic that's relevant to you is there could be a genetic component. Like there is a little bit of a range in terms of like, we don't know if this is the first time she's had these things tested or if it's gone up since a couple of years ago, or if she needs to retest again in 3 to 6 months and see, like, again, if this is one benchmark, maybe it's not enough information without more context. So there's like potentially a genetic component to this. There's also having slightly elevated cholesterol in the context of a very healthy life may be, again, one element to look at, to pay attention to. It may not be this be-all, end-all negative thing. I mean, a lot of people, when they change their diet and they change it to maybe be a bit more animal protein heavy, that may be something that bumps up a little bit temporarily, or it may be something that bumps up a little bit, but in the context of every other health marker improving, maybe it's not the mm-hmm. biggest deal in the world. I read somewhere too that like if you, I don't know if this is the case for her, but if you're losing fat, like if you're losing fat on your body and this like the adipose tissue is being sort of like excreted and through, you know, there's going to be fat, saturated fat in your fat that is being excreted. And that can also show up as maybe higher levels in testing. So again, I don't know if this is her thing or not, but these are all kind of elements that maybe again, point to maybe make some little adjustments and then just test again and see, like, is this a trend? Is it still going up? Is it leveled off? Is it back down? You know, it doesn't have to be like this super scary, my LDL is a little high, I must be doing everything wrong, this is bad. You know, there are other elements at play in context that needs to be taken into account.
Yeah, totally agree. And I just want to read this off because this is important. She mentioned this in the email from her doc. Like this was the note from her doctor. It says your total cholesterol is mildly elevated. Your LDL, and the doctor is referring to LDL in quotes as bad cholesterol, is elevated. Again, there's nuance there. But it also says your triglycerides, which is another fat in your blood, are normal. Your HDL, again, the doctor says in quotes, good cholesterol is normal. And they say, please focus on reducing saturated fats and processed foods and increasing your consumption of healthy fats like avocados, salmon, olive oil, nuts. Exercise helps too. I honestly would say that that little sentence there is actually very accurate.
But she's also doing that. Like if you read the email, she is already doing that.
Yeah, but I'm saying like in terms of the saturated fats side of things, it might just be like, okay, because she said she's in, you know, consuming meats and cheese and things like that. It might just be like, hey, we just need to like maybe reduce that a little bit in terms of, like we said, the fatty meats, the cheese, and just add a little bit more of the monounsaturated salmon, avocado, things like that. And then also giving it time too.
Yeah.
I think, you know, even if like, obviously those things are, you know, if you're doing all of that too, it's just sometimes like a little bit more time or sometimes switching out some things in that standpoint. And then like Ashley said, testing again. And then also, like Ashley said, like keeping all these things in perspective of like what's actually going on. Cause you know, it's not black and white, these types of things. And so I think that's just really important to be aware of.
I remember when I was in like, I think it was like my mid 20s and I had moved to from like standard American diet. This is just an N equals one, but I'm just saying, like from kind of, you know, standard not really thinking about it, I'm a young person diet to like a very paleo, but like meat-based approach. I remember there was a period there I was eating like a ton of like wild boar. There was just a farmer's market and there was like a lot of wild boar and I was eating a lot of it. It's really good, by the way, anybody who has not eaten wild boar. Anyway, and I was going through a period of probably like the healthiest, fittest, best body composition of my life at the time. And I had gotten some blood work done for another reason. And they were like, first of all, you're fantastically healthy. Everything is great. Good for you. Your cholesterol is a bit high. And I was like, interesting. And then, you know, I was like, but I'm literally the healthiest in every other marker that I've ever been. And it's probably a reflection of eating some higher fat meats and like maybe, again, something to think about. But it, for me, it wasn't something that was concerning. Yeah. So again, we're not doctors. We're not telling you to be concerned or not be concerned. We're just saying, you know, I also read somewhere, did you hear that? I mean, fiber is also another element. If you maybe include a little bit more fiber in your diet, that can help. But I read somewhere that unfiltered coffee can like raise your cholesterol and that reducing caffeine or doing, you know, like pour over like filtered coffee could make a difference. I don't know if that's like a completely out of left field. It's just something I read and I was like, it's weird. So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, but I haven't seen that one. It sounds like one of those
pseudo
science.
People are just trying to get us to drink less coffee. And I don't stand with that personally. I'm not a big fan of that. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, okay. I was going to say something too, because you mentioned what you just said about, like, I think this is also something too, like people, she didn't mention this in this email, but I want, you know, something to be aware of is like the total cholesterol number, right? That's something that we still see on our panel. And I feel like some people, this personal email and doctor did not refer to total cholesterol, which I think is good because that number really doesn't tell us anything at all. Mm-hmm. But if you have a, and these are red flags, right? If you have a doctor that says your total cholesterol is high, you need to lower that. That's like a red flag where it's like, okay, what? Like, what else?
What do you mean?
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you mean? That doesn't do anything. Total cholesterol, I personally think they should just take that off the freaking blood work because like, what does it even tell you? It just confuses you more. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of other markers that will give you more of a picture of what's going on. And the other thing too, I just want to mention this because I had a client last week who was a little bit confused about this. And so this was the same client that was talking about how her doctor told her she needed to reduce her cholesterol. So she started looking at the cholesterol in her food and like tracking how much cholesterol she was consuming from her food, thinking that that was going to help lower cholesterol. And so I just want to make this super clear. The cholesterol that's in your food is not the same. It doesn't have any thing to do with the cholesterol that is in your body. When we consume food, right, we consume food that's quote unquote high in cholesterol, that doesn't mean anything. Cholesterol and saturated fat are completely different things. They're two different, completely different molecules. And a lot of people get those confused. They think they're the same thing, but they're not. So I just want to say this because if you are someone who is in this realm of like, oh, my doctor's telling me I need to lower my cholesterol, so I'm going to stop eating things that are high in cholesterol, that is the wrong way to look at it. Don't pay attention to that number. Pay attention to all the other things that we just talked about. Your body needs cholesterol. Cholesterol is important. Like if you didn't have cholesterol, you would die. It's the backbone of so many different hormones and cells and your liver
and
your brain, everything. Your liver actually creates cholesterol. And so I think that's just people, and it's probably our faults for like, not our faults, but like the medical community for like confusing those things. Cause yeah, obviously I'm going to think that, oh, if I want to lower my cholesterol, I'm going to stop eating cholesterol. But that's not how it works.
It's the same as like up until recently, everyone thought that if you eat fat, that's what makes you fat, right? Like you eat fat and it just gets deposited as fat on your body. And that's, again, not how metabolism works. So, but I mean, you can see why people would assume that if you're eating something high in cholesterol, that's not good for your own cholesterol, but it's just the same. Everybody, I think we can get our heads around the idea that like eating fat doesn't make you fat. Like it's the same thing.
Exactly.
So was this supposed to be a good segue to our show sponsor, Nutrisense?
Well, basically because Nutrisense, they do testing, lots of blood testing and other testing. And so we want to talk a little bit about that. We talked on our last episode about your Did you have a like blood panel in your
one? No, that was Genova. That was Genova. That was the, remember we talked about the nutritional thing and I was all smug about how I was healthy, even though I don't eat that many vegetables. So anyway, getting our amazing sponsors mixed
up
is fine.
Screwing this up so hard. Let me shut up. You go.
Okay. Well, NutriSense, basically what we've been using it for is for blood sugar. It can be used for management, but it's also, I mean, in a lot of cases, it's really just kind of experimentation and, it's similar to Genova, really. It's just like kind of self-empowering, right? Like you can do this, you can be proactive and do this testing yourself instead of having to wait until your next doctor's appointment and beg for a blood panel or whatever. I mean, you can kind of do some research yourself and see how different foods impact you. And the cool thing about NutriSense, so it's basically you've got these CGMs, these continued glucose monitors that you slap on there, and then it connects with their app, which allows you to track things and pay attention to what you're eating and the response and all of that stuff. But it also comes with a month of, well, the app subscription is free, but also a month of professional nutritionist support. So if you have questions about like, geez, this XYZ food really spiked my blood sugar and I don't know why, and that is surprising to me, and what do you think? Like you can go within the app and ask the nutritionist questions and get feedback and stuff like that. So, it's just a really cool tool. So if you want to check it out, we have the promo code is MSW. The link is in the show notes, but it's NutriSenseIO.com/MSW. And you get $30 off your first month. You also get the two CGMs, free shipping, and then the free month of nutritionist support. So it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. And I remember how and why I wanted to link these to the cholesterol chat. I had a big brain fart there and I was also thinking about the wrong thing. But going back to what I said before, if you are in the camp or the, you know, in like this scenario of like, okay, I need to figure out how to lower my cholesterol to some degree, like, you know, whether it's the LDL or I mentioned ApoB, which I'm not going to get into that, but you can do your own research on that. There are like, there's two main things nutritionally that you could start to focus on, which we talked about the saturated fat thing. And the second thing is overall, like lowering triglycerides. Cause that's something too, like if you have high triglycerides and your doctor's like, hey, you need to lower these. I know this wasn't the specific question. But one of the biggest tools for that is paying attention and being more carb conscious, right? Mm-hmm. And again, this comes with all processed foods, all that stuff too. But we do know like from all the literature and, you know, all the keto, the keto craze that happened, that excess carbohydrate intake does contribute to higher triglycerides. And if you are looking to lower that, you know, potentially lowering your carbohydrates can help with that. And so this is something that, and again, you have to balance that out, right? Because a lot of people, we talked about this, a lot of people who they're like, oh, I'm going to go on a low carb keto diet. They lower their carbs, but then they now are, you know, taking in tons and tons of fat. Mm-hmm. So you have to like make sure that you're paying attention to the types of fats and all that. But anyway, if this is something that you're dealing with too, a CGM can help you to potentially use that alongside to help monitor that blood sugar response too, and just make sure that those things are in alignment too, because this is another thing too, like, and you mentioned this with cholesterol numbers and all of that, like that's not, why are we monitoring cholesterol, right? What's the reason? And it's because we are trying to prevent heart disease, right? Cardiovascular disease. But cardiovascular disease doesn't just happen because people have high LDL cholesterol. There's so many other pieces to the puzzle. And one of those big pieces is blood sugar regulation and type 2 diabetes and things that can lead to, insulin resistance, all that stuff. So like all of these things are tools in your toolbox to help you to become healthier, or if you are dealing with something, along the lines of blood panels and things like that, and you're looking to optimize certain things, like these are all tools in your toolbox that you can use to help give you a better picture, right? Help see objective metrics versus just kind of guessing. So that was the connection, and I had a brain fart. My bad.
You came around. Thanks, NutriSense. NutriSenseIO.com/MSW. If you have any questions, just send us a message. We read, we try to, in a timely manner, get to most of our emails, but you can give it a shot at muscle science for women@gmail.com. We really appreciate all your emails and your nice messages and your feedback. And so just send us a message there and say hi. And speaking of that, let's do one more question before we round out this episode. Also, we've been trying to do episodes like closer to the like 30, 35 minute mark. Tell us if you like that. Like every once in a while, obviously, we're going to like really get into it or deep dive and like we'll be here for an hour or whatever. But we've been trying to make them a little bit more. Or, you know, Kanye just won't stop talking. But if you like, if you prefer that we go a little bit longer, answer more questions per episode, like tell us. We think maybe a little bit more, a little shorter, a little snappier might be better. But like, let us know one way or the other because we aim to please. Okay. Shelby asks, well, she says, first, let me start by saying how much I love your podcast and a big thank you for helping me get over the amount of calories I eat. I predominantly do weight exercises and knew I needed to eat calories to gain muscle, but there was a mental block with that until I listened to you guys and got over it. Yes.
Oh my, Shelby. That makes me, that is like the that just makes me so happy.
Literally. If that's literally all, if that's the only impact we have is having women either eat more or acknowledge that they're be okay with eating enough to build muscle. I'm a happy woman. That's
I will
all
die
I need.
Happy. That's it.
That's right. I love that. Okay. Onward to the question. I work out in the morning before work and I try to drink a quick protein shake right after that. Then mid-morning, I will have a smoothie with more protein powder in it. I'm wondering if you can consume too much protein powder. Okay.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Can I just say one quick thing before we answer the question? I just saw a research article that came out that said, and this is not telling everybody they have to go consume a protein shake after your workout. I'm not saying this, but there was a research article that showed, and it was a small sample size. So again, you have to take this with a grain of salt, but it showed that the people who consumed a protein shake, like protein powder and water right after their workout, actually consumed less calories in their next meal. And so that's just kind of cool because if you just think about like if someone's, you know, in a fat loss phase or they're looking to manage their calories and they're like, oh, I don't want to consume this because I want to save my calories for later. It could actually be something where it's like, oh no, actually having maybe like half a scoop of protein right after your workout, just in a little bit of water, could actually help to curb cravings and appetite a little bit more later on when you do have your kind of full on meal. So anyway, now that. I'm rambling again, but I thought it was cool.
No, I think that's a very relevant thing. And I think that's very cool. And it also, I mean, I second that because as somebody who tends to, you know, there's two camps, right? There are people who undereat and there are people who tend to overeat. And I am an overeater. And same. I am definitely one of those people who's like, oh, I'll just, you know, like, I don't know, not eat carbs so that I can eat more tonight, or I'll just skip this meal so I can really pig out later. And it's like, that's never the right idea. You will always pig out. But if I'm trying to do better and not do my famous second dinner at 9:30 where I eat like mostly carbs and I'm a nightmare, the best way for me to avoid that is literally having like a protein shake. And of course, yes, we can always say like the whole foods protein is probably better if you could like get in a chicken thigh or like a piece of steak or some hard boiled eggs or something. That's probably better. But there is something really satisfying about that pure straight to the gut protein shake with just some water or milk or something. Like it really is satisfying. And if I'm feeling like, ooh, I'm feeling kind of bingy, like I want to eat a bunch of crap, and I just like force a protein shake first, it probably that goes away. So there really is something to it. You know, like I think for Shelby, I think probably some very high level thing is like, overall, short answer, I don't think you're overdoing it. I would encourage, like if she was my client, I'd be like, are there ways that you could, you know, maybe meal prep and like have a real breakfast somewhere there instead of the double shake situation? Because real food comes with other benefits. Like if we're just talking about protein and getting protein in, cool. But like, maybe you want all the vitamins and minerals that are coming from some animal protein, or maybe you want like a little bit more of fiber, some other things coming from like real food. So that would be a good idea for you to like maybe try to do that. We also don't know the context of like, what are your other meals that you're eating? How much protein are you getting the rest of the day? And you know, you just mentioned something like, if you're really trying to be like conscious of this, like do half a scoop of protein and split it across the two shakes. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you're not worrying about getting 2-3 scoops of protein a day. Because I don't know, maybe there are studies, I don't know, but I think if you're using like a good quality protein, like an Active Stacks or something that doesn't have a bunch of extra crap, you're probably not doing anything bad for your body. And if you're tolerating it and digesting it well, and you enjoy it and it's helping you have energy and it's adding to your overall protein take, you're probably fine. But you also probably don't want to be getting like a lot or the majority of your protein calories from protein shakes every day, if you can help it, right? So there's sort of a balance here. It's like, what you're doing is probably fine, but if you can find more ways to get like the real food in, that would be better, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it also comes like to be kind of on the opposite side of things. It's like, if you are trying to manage your calories, you probably don't want to be drinking them all. So if you're drinking your protein for the pre-workout or right after your workout, and then again, you're having a smoothie, that's drinking a lot of things, right? And so we do know that chewing and having a little bit higher volume foods and, you know, things like that, even if in that smoothie, say you pack in like berries and lots of fiber and even like some veggies and I don't know, nuts and stuff like that, avocado maybe, whatever, you're still drinking that. So you're not getting that chewing satisfaction, right? And so that can also potentially lead you to the opposite of what we said, is to actually be hungrier or just not satisfied, right? Or satiated. So it's all about kind of figuring out, because some people are different. Some people can slam a big protein shake and like, they're like, I'm full for hours. Like that was fine. And there's other people like me, for example, like I need to eat. That's why I have, like, I don't typically drink protein powder. I always make like a creamy, like a Ninja Creamy, because I like to eat like that satisfying, like chewing the actual ice cream and whatever it may be, like that is what satisfies me and keeps me full. Drinking doesn't. So it's all about kind of finding what works for you personally. And then, like you said too, protein powder is great, but it's also processed too. There's some degree of processing to it. It comes in a package, comes in a box. We always say, like, if you can, you know, do what you can to get whole foods as much as possible. And I typically tell people, like, if you're having more than 2 scoops of protein a day, then there's definitely something that we can optimize a bit more there. But again, if that's the only way you're getting your protein and there's literally nothing else you can do, then I would rather you do that than not get your protein in. Right.
Yes.
So
yes,
that's my take.
Yeah. Obviously, as always, there's not a very simple, succinct, like one word answer to this, but I think you get the point that like, you're prioritizing, you know, the right things and it's great and you're asking good questions and there is probably some room for improvement and prioritizing real foods, but I don't think you're going to die tomorrow because you're having 2 scoops of protein a day. So just, you know, we're all on a journey of trying to like optimize and do the best we can. And so there you go. You're doing great. But this does, you know, we had just talked about how we wanted the episodes to be about 30 minutes, but this does lead me to like one last kind of cultural thing that I would like to discuss with you, because I think it's just something I've been thinking about. I feel like you're going to be on my side with this a little bit, but maybe not. And it's worth having the conversation. So recently on social media, I've noticed, because of course everything has to be crazy divisive, right? So there's all like the health nuts on the internet. And then there's all the people vilifying the health nuts and saying you're all psychotic you're all orthorexic for caring so much about your health and all this stuff, right? Like everybody's just crazy, right? But I've noticed this sort of counter trend of people being like, so, you know, people make like protein desserts, right? Or you make made versions of, instead of a brownie, it's mashed up sweet potato and cocoa powder and chocolate protein, right? Or instead of ice cream, it's a Ninja Creamy that has 150 calories or whatever, right? So you get this concept. And people being like, that, first of all that stuff is disgusting and garbage, the healthy stuff. And if you're doing that, you are kidding yourself, you are orthorexic, you're going to end up binging or something somewhere along the line because you're not satisfying yourself with the real thing, et cetera. Okay. So I have a couple thoughts on this. So first of all, I think you and I both will agree and admit that sometimes eating the real thing is what you should do. We're not here to say that you should never eat a chocolate bar or Ben and Jerry's ever again. I think we all know that it should be in moderation, and that probably moderation looks different for different people depending on your goals and your health and all of that stuff. But I think that healthy, like protein homemade versions of things are good because, first of all, they are less processed. You know what's going into them. I'm a big fan of eating desserts and sweets, period. But also, if you're gonna do that, boost them with things like protein and collagen and, I don't know, healthier ingredients that are gonna be maybe more satisfying, right? And the argument that these things all taste disgusting and you're kidding yourself, I would counter argue that we have numbed our palates to the point where anything that doesn't taste like a Starbucks Frappuccino tastes gross to people. And that's a problem, right? Like some of these homemade desserts probably maybe do taste less good. Some of them maybe full out taste bad if the recipe isn't good, right? But I think that just to across the board say something made with sweet potato and maple syrup and cocoa powder is disgusting because we're used to eating the most insanely decadent, sugar-filled things, that's not the right argument, right? Like I just took a little bit of, I don't want to say offense because I don't really care and I'm not putting these recipes on the internet anyway, but I was just like, this is an interesting counter argument that like people trying to make better, healthier choices are now being vilified for being like extreme or crazy because they don't choose to eat Ben and Jerry's or, you know, Reese's peanut butter brownies from a box, you know? Anyway.
No, I agree completely. I think it's kind of like the same thing where it's like, okay, you go out to a restaurant, someone sits next to you and orders a burger and fries and a beer, and you order a salad with, you know, the dressing and the cheese on the side. And like, you're the one who gets looked at as like, what are you doing? Right. It's the same concept. It's just like people have different perceptions of things. And I think that I also think the people who are probably saying this have maybe tried one recipe, like you said, and it came out bad and they're like, all this stuff sucks. So yeah, I think I agree with you. The only thing I will say is that if you are one of those people who's like, oh, now I can go make these healthy versions of these things and now I can just eat them all. And then you're wondering like, oh, like, why am I maybe gaining weight or not feeling the best? It's just like the like misunderstanding of like, I can eat all these healthy things and nothing happens. It's like, yes, but you know, calories still matter. Right. And even though it's healthy, like it's a healthy sweet potato maple syrup brownie, doesn't mean that you should probably eat the entire batch
every day,
every single day or a week. Yeah. Right. So it's all putting that in perspective and just like still being aware of that. But yeah, I don't agree because I love Ninja Creamy ice cream.
And I know that there is like a sliding scale, like orthorexia does exist. There are people who take their obsession with making healthy choices too far and it becomes dysfunctional. And I've seen healthy recipes on the internet where I'm like, are you insane? Like there are people making these like breads that are literally just like fluffed up egg white. And I'm like, sorry, dude, it doesn't taste like bread. Stop trying to trick
me.
If you want to, cool, you know, but like whatever. So there's a range, right? Like it's all subjective. It's all a gray area. But I feel like people are missing the point of this kind of communication where, you know, someone's trying to make a healthier choice. Maybe they're trying to make like healthy cookies for their toddler because all toddlers want to do is snack on carbs and you don't want to give them some garbage thing from a bag from a grocery store. And people are like, oh, you're going to create problems for your kid because they don't get to eat, you know, animal crackers every day. And it's like, really? Like maybe they shouldn't at 2 years old, that shouldn't be their baseline palate. Maybe they should be eating things that are anyway, I just,
this just yeah, had me think we're going to end this episode, but this just had me think I was at my sister's house last weekend. And it's just so funny because when you like are in this and you are focused on health and stuff like that, and obviously, you know, this with Magnus, but like, it's completely normal to like, for example, she was making, my nephew Jaden, like we woke up in the morning, she's like, oh, Jaden, do you want some pancakes? Right. And the pancakes, like, just not like, oh, these are healthy pancakes, I'm going to make these. It was just like, I'm going to go in the cabinet and do what I do every day. She took out flaxseed, oats, applesauce, pumpkin pie spice, and an egg, mm-hmm. literally mixed it up and then put a little butter in a frying pan and made these pancakes in 2 seconds with those ingredients. And there's like, that's normal in her household because mm-hmm. she knows what is like still delicious, but these are whole foods. They're not the Aunt Jemima packaged pancakes that like I grew up with when we had pancakes, right? And it's just like a different, like when you live in that environment, like it's different. So when you learn this stuff, it's like if someone else who has never, who's not health conscious came into her kitchen that morning and was like, that's the pancakes you're serving your kid. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a different, yeah. it's a different world, yeah. but it's yeah. a better world in my eyes. But
I agree. And I think, again, it gets too polarizing. It's like, I'm not going to raise my kid in a world where he needs to never know about junk food or feel yeah. guilty if he eats it. Like that food is pleasure food and it exists for your pleasure and you should eat it as a treat. You shouldn't eat it all the time. Your baseline palate shouldn't be 10 tablespoons of sugar in your coffee. Like we can die on that hill because that's ridiculous, yeah. right? Like you have a right to drink that if you want to, but don't pretend that it's A, healthy, and don't give somebody else shit because they want a healthier version. That's ridiculous. Yeah. So yeah. anyway.
And to just note, he went and had a cupcake later on at his birthday party. So like, again, it's like the balance, but it's also what you have in your house and what you're feeding your kids on a daily basis versus what they have on like an event that's out or something like that. And so yeah, it's a whole other discussion. But
did he just turn one?
He is going to turn one in a week.
Holy moly, time flies, yeah, man.
Yeah, crazy. Wow. So cute, though. He eats everything. Cute. Oh, my God. He eats more than me. I'm, like, sitting at the table. We're, like, he's, like, I'm just going to eat. I'm, like, whoa.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
I know where welcome. You get it from because that's how I am, but.
Yeah, welcome to the world of very small amazing. Boys. I don't know. Girls maybe were like that, too. But this kid, it's, like, having a third adult in the house. It's ridiculous. Anyway. All right. I like where this went. This was fun. Yeah. Everybody, thanks for listening. And send us some feedback. Send us some more questions so we can get into
share
it.
Share on social media. Yes. If you like, listen to us. Take a screenshot of this episode. Post it on your Instagram story. Tag us. We'll reshare it. Helps us get the word out. Very, very appreciative. Leave those ratings and all those review thingies if you'd like. And we appreciate it.
Subscribe, rate, subscribe. Review. Send it to your mom who's just started going to the gym. Get her to listen. Let's start a movement.
Join our programs. All the things.
Do it all. All right. Until next time. Don't do stupid shit.
Goodbye. Don't be insane.